And we're back, here with Representative Roger Victory.
Good morning, Jew.
Good morning, Roger. Well, I heard this morning that we might have a record snowfall this year.
I think my interpretation looks like we already have a record snowfall out there. We were just remarking before we went on the air, a gentleman's shoveling some of the snow off the roof of one of these commercial buildings here in Holland. And to the listeners out there, be aware of this. We're going to get additional 3 to 4 or 5 inches of snow. This is a system snow, not like the lake effect that we had yesterday. And if we get some rain, I heard a forecast up to a half inch of rain. That's going to put a heavy strain on these roofs. And,
yes, it will.
For the safety of the people out there, make sure you get an opportunity to examine these roofs. And if you need to take corrective measures, please do so.
Indeed. All right. I read this morning that a national poll indicated that Michigan is one of the top states in getting new industry.
Yeah. We've been making great strides forward on that. I compliment the governor, some of the initiatives he's put in place, making business more attractive to the state of Michigan, or making Michigan more attractive to business,
right,
would be a better way of putting it. And it's starting to show as the economy is improving, and that shows into our budget. Now, we're dealing with a budget currently. The governor proposed a $50 billion budget, and there's a surplus involved in this, and that's a key ingredient as businesses are coming back to Michigan, locating here, growing our economy, providing good jobs for our citizens of the state of Michigan, and that's the keys to success. And hopefully we can keep that foot on that accelerator and continue to move forward in that direction.
Yeah, yeah. That was quite a surprise to me, but it was a good surprise.
That's right. Hopefully more of that good news come forward, but there's still more work to be done, and that's why it's so important to make sure we constrain
mm-hmm.
spending, make sure we allocate those monies into areas where it will grow the state, and also keep in the mind of the hardworking taxpayers of the state of Michigan that those dollars are used very effectively,
right,
and for the benefit to growing the economy of the state of Michigan.
Everybody's looking for a way to spend the extra money, though.
Yeah, as the chairman approached, Representative Hobbin says, everyone has a request, and it's regarding, and people got to realize, they throw this $1 billion amount out there, but that $1 billion number is actually a cumulative effect of a couple years, so it's not just what we have available for this year, and there's some great needs out there. The balance sheet of the state of Michigan, we have $30 billion of liabilities on that balance sheet for employment liabilities, OPAD and MITSERS and those type of aspects that are need to be accountable for. So this is a great opportunity to make a down payment on those liabilities. And also another thing that doesn't show up on our balance sheet of the state is the condition of the roads. And this is an opportunity that we can address the road condition. We haven't tackled the comprehensive funding mechanism for our road funding, and so we have to go a little more on ad hoc method, and so there are some funds available so we can start addressing that. And as the listeners are going to start to see firsthand, when we get the spring thaw, the roads took quite abuse this winter.
Oh, yes.
And our locals, their budgets are pretty much devastated by the use of the salt they had to put on and the overtime and the equipment. So that's going to chip away in some of the road improvement programs they could have in place.
Right, right. Roger, you're basically a farmer, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I keep active with the farm with some help of the family, and also have the privilege of serving in the district of the 88th at the Lansing level, too. So,
Anything in that farm bill that you could look at and say, I think that's going to help me?
Yeah, well, I really reframed that question. There were some issues that they had these programs called direct payments, and I could never justify why they paid growers just for the sake of growing corn, soybeans, and wheat, and those called program crops. Those direct payments have been eliminated. It was I was a strong advocate for that for many years, and some of the shift has been pushed toward crop insurance. But I think that's a much more proper use of those dollars. And as a taxpayer, I question, why do we pay a farmer for just growing a specific crop?
Yeah.
But there's an important need to make sure there's insurance policies out there to ensure the production of our the crops and having a good, solid food program for the country.
Okay, got a call here. Good morning. You're online with our representative.
Oh, I am so sorry. I got away from the radio. But I want to let you know all the diabetic stuff is gone.
All stuff is gone. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. She was giving some stuff away that was in demand for a lot of people.
Well, I'm glad that that good things could occur.
Right,
so
right.
I love how your program works, helps the community out, and addresses the needs of many of the citizens out there. So you do a good work for the community.
Yeah, well, I remember some of those days when people were getting a lot of money for growing soybeans,
mm-hmm.
for instance, that
yep.
sort of thing. And
and that has been eliminated. And as the economy of the agricultural economy has revolved, the Farm Bill addressed these issues. Also, you know, the people have to realize that the major portion of the Farm Bill is a nutrition program that goes to the food stamp, the
right.
stamp program, and that those components there too. So it's there's a production component to the Farm Bill, and there's a nutrition, and the vast majority of the money goes to the nutrition. But there's been some good reforms on the production side, and reflected of what the needs of agriculture is today in the 20th century.
Good morning. You're online with our representative.
Good morning, Duke. Thanks for taking my call. Good morning, Representative.
Well, good morning to you.
Duke had a guest last week, Senator Arlen Meekhoff, and he caused a few of the locals to call in with some questions and concerns that I thought were pretty interesting. And I got to thinking of the calls in regard to, I think, a bill that Amanda Price put got passed regarding third grade promotion or graduation, mm-hmm. or whatever, you minimum standards for third grade moving on or whatever. And I'm wonder who actually wrote that bill. It doesn't seem to me that she wrote it, from what I've been hearing her say, and from the little bit that I know about the legislative process. Is it fairly common to have a vested interest, or have a outside, let's say, some industrial group write a bill and submit it to a legislator for submittal, or to a senator for submittal? Or is it possible a group of school boards could get together and write up a bill and have someone put it forth, you know? Because, again, from what I've seen of the situation, I really don't think that Amanda Price wrote that bill. And I'm just
trying to get an answer.
You know,
all right, yep.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, the caller has a good question there, and I can't address specifically to that bill because that third grade reading bill. But bills, they come from many different directions. I will work with stakeholders on bill. Right now, actually, I'm working on a bill dealing with the removal of the sunset provision, allowing county board of commissioners to absorb or take on the responsibilities of road commissions. Now, on that bill, I've been working, you know, this is a passion of mine. I feel this is a tool that should be available to our road commissions, that if there's an ineffective road commission out there among one of the counties of the state, that they could have a dialogue and plausibly obtaining that road commission and effectively, more efficiently manage mm-hmm. it at the county level. So in this process, I reach out to, specifically the Ottawa County Board of Commissioners and that process there, and their MAC, the representative group in Lansing, and we all have dialogue. But one area, it's a passion of the legislator to take on a bill, because you have to do a lot of heavy lifting and navigating. So it's a collaborative and team effort. And to say that any bill is just given in specifically written from one specific group, no, there's a lot of different input into a specific mm-hmm. bill. But, no, a good question, the caller, and, yeah, there's many sources of different bills out there, but and also input of the legislator, him or herself, too.
Okay. Thank you. Good morning. You're on the line with Roger.
Oh, okay. I'll call back.
Okay.
Thank you.
395-1450, our number here, if you'd like to give us a call, and we'd be happy to hear from you. And so what's going to be going on in the legislature this week?
Well, there's a couple issues very concerning, and I'm sure a number of listeners out there are affected by this too, is the high heating energy cost.
Yes.
There's a serious propane shortage in the state of Michigan, especially in the UP. I know some of the people in the UP heard that they're actually winterizing their homes and moving in with their neighbor because, one, is it's just not available, and the cost. I know there's been some emergency deliveries of LP in Marion, about 1 million gallons of some rail tankers coming in, so that issue will be addressed. But also, what's going to affect these high heating bills? In fact, I would kind of interested in hearing from some of the listeners what type of heating bills they're experiencing for the month of January. because this is going to have a big impact on the, you know, disposable incomes. Restaurants are going to start to feel effect because if you have a $400, $500 heating bill, some might be more than that, and you typically budget for a lesser amount,
yeah.
How are you going to make up on that issue? And so some of the areas we've actually been addressing, allowing what firewood permits in the wintertime. So there's been some issues that we've been dealing with at the state level on that.
Okay. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Yes. Is this the same station that has the Talk of the Town on?
This is the Talk of the Town you're talking to right now.
Oh, I mean Bargain Counter. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's comes on at 11:30 here.
Yeah, but the same phone number, right?
Same phone number, right.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. We have Roger Victory with us this morning, and good morning. You're on the line with Roger.
Hi, I had a question. My name is Jessica, and I have an unusual situation where I was wanting to propose to have a bill sponsored for reinstatement of parental rights.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was very fortunate to meet with Arlen last Monday or so about sponsoring a bill to reinstate parental rights. How realistic is it to sponsor a bill and to have it passed?
Depending on a specific issue, you mentioned this parental rights, a unique caveat. I actually serve on families, children's, and seniors, and we have taken up a lot of those issues in that committee. Chairman Kurtz, who chairs that committee, is a very passionate man on these issues. So the likelihood of a bill being taken up, dealing with the chair of a committee that would be that bill would fall into, does it mirror his or her protocols?
Mm-hmm.
Also, does it mirror the representation of the district process and what issues dealing with? And it's a process, and encourage reach out to your senator or representative with the issue, bring it forward, and there's many areas it has to be navigated through. But bear with the process. It can be a lengthy process or it can be a very short process. But it's something that you reach out and navigate through and put it. It has to be a team and collaborative effort.
Okay. And so how long? But who's one of the major go getters for the for parental rights that are really have a strong interest in the children?
I would say feel free to reach out to Chairman Kurtz of the Family, Children, and Seniors Committee. I serve on that committee, and feel free to contact my office with this detail, and I can give you, are you ready for a phone number?
I am ready, yes.
Okay, please, it's 517-373-1830, and I'll repeat that one more time, 517-373-1830.
Okay, and then I wanted to make you aware of a situation. I'm a devout Michigander. I'm
mm-hmm.
a proud American. And I had a situation in Allegan County. I'm not going to get into the details, but basically I was brought into the court system through DHS on anticipated abuse and neglect. I have a 10 and 11-year-old, and I was lied to by my attorney. My public defender said, just turn everything over to the natural father, give everything to him, and after the case closes and they drop it, I will help you get those rights back. That day, my children, I signed off all parental rights voluntarily in Allegan County, and the children remained home with me for the last 2 years, put them in Holland Christian, took them to did lots of things
mm-hmm.
to the children. And now I'm finding that after I called CPS on their father, my children were removed and said, you have no rights as a parent at all, no parental rights because you voluntarily signed them off per your public defender. Well, I've been trying to advocate since September and find out what do I do to not be a victim of the system. It needs to be fixed, and I firmly believe that it will be. But biding the time, what can I myself do? I've been calling legal aid. They won't take it. It's beyond the scope of their time and money.
Mm-hmm.
And I've called all across trying to find an attorney to change this, and it costs $20,000 to $30,000.
Yep.
I'm terminally ill. I'm dying. I don't
mm-hmm.
have a lot of time. My children want to come home, and yet I voluntarily signed off all rights per an effective counsel. The only thing I could think to advocate for myself and to not be a victim for my children children or I, is to keep speaking out and raising awareness and talking to people in authority such as yourself and Mr. Arlen Meekoff, and letting this know that letting them know and other people know that this happens, and it's not the best system, but it happens, and there are victims such as myself, although I don't want to use that term victim, where my children are calling and they want to come home. My daughter is my only daughter. I love her with all of my heart, and I want my children to come home, and yet they can't ever come back here. And a murderer, it's based off of, the family court system is based off of a criminal court system, and yet a murderer has a better chance at freedom than I do of bringing my babies home with me. So I don't know what to do, and I refuse to be a victim and to sit here and cry as I'm, you know, sick and in a lot of pain. And my children are literally calling, Mommy, I want to come home. And I don't know what to do, and I don't want to be a victim anymore. And I'm trying to change this laws and to raise awareness. There's a program by Dennis Lawrence out of WKTV in Grand Rapids called Silent Voices. And they're trying to give a voice to some of the parents whose rights have been violated or haven't been spoken up to. And so I just wanted to raise awareness to this issue, because a lot of the bashing comes in where our system's broke, these judges don't care, and they're putting the judges down, and I don't see fit for that. I have a lot of respect, a lot of respect. So I just wanted some guidance and what to do to change this for my grandchildren and you know, for my children's children, so that this doesn't happen to them. And the only thing I could think was to call Arlen Meekoff and have a bill sponsored, but I'm hearing that takes years to do. And so I don't know what my next step is as far as the other thing is, I asked for my files in Allegan County, and the judge denied my files and said, no, you can't have them. Can he do that? Is that legal? Can he do that? Again, I'm dying. I'm disabled. I don't have a lot of time. I feel like my time is running out with my children and to advocate. And now the more pressing issue for me is to change these laws for my descendants. So any advice, I will listen to, and I will hang up, and I will listen to what you have to say on that issue. Thank you so much.
Well, the caller brings up an issue that we've faced a number of times in family, children, and seniors. And also the caller is correct. It can be all honesty to have some change of the law. It's not a quick 6 months process. It can take even something beyond my tender with term limits. It's a process. But also there's administrative rules too, and that's where I would advocate call your state representative or your state senator. They and the office can have dialogue with DHS on some of these issues and see once areas can there's be some room to navigate there. That is more the accelerated approach. Now, as a caller indicated, her concern is something for her grandchildren and indicated that she realizes it's going to be a long, lengthy process. So there's a two-prong approach. There's what can the office do, either the state representative's office or the Senate's office, and can deal with the Department of DHS and whatever areas that would be allowable. And then there's the long-term legislative process. We're introducing a bill and going through that process. So then it's a change for the next generation or, you know, 2 or 3, 4 years down the road.
Yeah, okay.
And thank you for that call.
Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Yes, my question is anything being done with the unemployment situations where you can call and call and never get through, lines are always busy, and, you know, you can set on an online account and they don't return your emails. You can get at their office on Plainfield hour and a half before they open the door, sit there all day, then they'll tell you to fill out a card, someone will get in contact with you in the next couple days, you get no response. How does the person get an unemployment situation cleared up?
Again, caller brings in what we serve as a legislator, representative, and senator. We have a staff in Lansing, and their role is to address the specific concerns of our constituents. So find who what district you are in. So I'm in the 88th, that would be Eastern Ottawa County, and we have many constituents that call in with issues with their unemployment and legitimate reasons. And so my office will call, do a little research on the issue, and then with the facts, and I can follow up with a phone call and find out what's holding up the process, why is the service not being provided, and get those specific details. So if you find yourself with any state services that you're not getting effective responses, please reach out to your state senator or state representative And that's our task and our duty to do follow up on those with these departments. It might, as a previous caller had, was the Department of Human Services. This would be the Unemployment Office. And that way, it's our job to facilitate as a mediator on those issues.
Okay, I'll get in contact.
You do that. Yeah. Yep, thank you.
Good. Thank you.
All right, 395-1450. Let's take a moment out for the weather. And Holland's Hometown Forecast is brought to you by Hop In in downtown Fenville. Text HOP to 80373 for pizza and grinder specials. And the weather, I hate to read this.
It's going to be safe for me to drive back, Jude?
Oh, I think so.
Okay.
Winter weather advisories in from 12 p.m. to 4 a.m. for Allegan and Ottawa counties. Now, today we can expect afternoon snow up to 3 inches with a high of 24. And tonight evening, snow up to 2 inches with a low of 22. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and a high of 38 degrees. You know what that means? That'll mean a lot of snow will be melting.
That'll be melting. Well, so according to that forecast, I have a groundbreaking ceremony at Sunset Manor. They're putting a big addition on, so I should put my snow boots on, correct?
Yeah. What time is it?
At 12:30.
12:30. Well, so, I think you'll get along without snow boots for that one. Good morning. You're online with Roger. I guess we're nobody there. Okay, 395-1450 is the number if you'd like to give us a call. Someone's on there now. Good morning, Talk the Town.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. He asked about the price of fuel.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, our fuel bill has gone up from 6 years ago, about doubled. I just got my fuel bill for this month of January, and it was $700 for fuel oil.
Yes.
I live out in the country.
Are you heating with fuel oil, propane, or natural gas?
Just fuel oil.
Yep.
We can't get natural gas out here in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, the federal government, in the last 6 years, the price went up about again what it was before. Now it's $3.51. And the federal government, they just get oil and stuff from other countries. We should get more from here, and we should have that pipeline going through.
Yep.
I know that isn't in your district, but...
Well, I did sign in a letter encouraging the completion of that pipeline.
Oh, yep. Well, thank you much.
Yep.
And thank you much.
Thank you. All right. Yeah, the fuel on, I think, from the month of January, mine was up about... I'd say roughly 40% what it normally would
be. And you know, that caller calling in with a $700 fuel oil bill, that's money that they're not going to have to spend at some of the parts of the areas. You know, we talk about these fixed costs with no-fault insurance. We need to address that issue. It's affecting our seniors. That cost continue to go up. Now we have this high heating cost process. And now another thing that's hitting the fuel oil issue is we have some of these peaker plants that produce electricity. They only run periodically, but with a severe winter, they're burning a lot of this fuel oil up to produce electricity, and that's driving up the cost of this fuel oil. If you notice, diesel fuel prices have just shot up by about 25 to 30 cents per gallon, and that's the genesis behind that issue. So,
okay. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Yes. Good morning. I keep hearing on TV that we should call our senators and oppose the deregulation of electrical services, and I wondered if I could please be given the number, because I definitely do not want deregulation for electricity. Would you happen to know the number we're supposed to call when we oppose this?
I can give you my number and articulate your concern, which is important, because when you call my office, we listen to the callers, and it helps formulate our opinions, because that's, you know, represented district. So I can give you my number to give a call, and that number in Lansing is
517-373-1830.
517-373-1830. Okay. And when you call, express the item that you're calling regarding and why you oppose it.
Okay.
So that's very beneficial, the why, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I definitely think that this should not be deregulated, because then we pay high enough bills as it is without having deregulation.
Mm-hmm.
So I will definitely call your office, sir.
I appreciate
you.
Have a good day.
You too.
And I think we have another call coming in. Yes. Good morning, Talk to Tom. Good morning, Talk to Tom. Well, they didn't stay with us. All right. Let's see if we get another call here within a few seconds, because we're getting near the end of our program this morning. And I think there's, yes. Good morning, Talk to Town.
Hello. Is that politician still available?
Yes, he is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll make it quick. You know, I'm really getting, this is just a voice out, sound off.
Yep.
I'm really getting tired of these politicians saying, hey, your vote counts. If you don't like what's in there, vote them out. Why doesn't our vote count the first time and do what the politicians are throwing out there to the public, and then mm-hmm. And then backing off and not doing it.
Let me give you a quick answer, okay?
I'll hang up. Bye.
Thank you.
Well, I say keep your local elected official, your state elected official, and your national elected official accountable. Contact their office. Send them an email. And when you when we do our district hours or out in the community, come visit us and bring forth your concerns and make sure we're accountable for our actions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Roger, for being our guest.
It's always a pleasure. And I hope the listeners are all driving safely home this afternoon, and be aware of those road conditions.
And you drive safely, too.
I will do that.
Because we want you back next month.
It's always enjoyable being on your show there, Jute.